Straight ahead on Daybreak Asia from the Voice of America, we focus on the protests that have been taking place in Hong Kong. This week on Daybreak Asia, we take a look at why the Chinese government declared a strict vetting process for Hong Kong candidates who want to run for the top job in the autonomous city in 2017. That is the earliest opportunity that Beijing has granted to Hong Kongers to directly elect their leader or their chief executive under a system of universal suffrage. Sunday's ruling by the Standing Committee of the National People's Congress drew loud protest from Hong Kong pro-democracy groups who complained that it would effectively block their members from becoming chief executive candidates. Hong Kong officials said their superiors in Beijing have defended the vetting process, saying it will ensure that a future directly elected Hong Kong leader is loyal to the Chinese central government, something they see is required by the city's constitution or what's called the basic law. Pro-democracy lawmakers reject that interpretation and have vowed to block Hong Kong's Legislative Council from approving the vetting guidelines, a move that would prevent the direct election from happening in 2017. Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippin spoke to Hong Kong University law professor Simon Young and asked him why Beijing rejected pro-democracy appeals for a more open election system.
I think they probably weighed up the options being that there be no reform or that there be reform under their very strict conditions. And they probably considered that if there was no reform, that wouldn't be so bad as if there was the radical reform that they considered the populists were pushing for. And so I think, you know, they're happy either way. I think probably on balance they would like to see reform simply because Hong Kong has been experiencing extremely difficult governance problems for the last 10 years. And they probably realize that if you have a chief executive that is so-called elected by the people, that perhaps that could overcome some of the more local governance problems.
You mentioned the option of no reform. That's what would happen if the Legislative Council or LegCo rejects the Standing Committee's guidelines, which appears likely at this point because all of the pan-democratic lawmakers have said up to now that they would vote against these guidelines. Does Beijing pay any price at all for not having any reform in Hong Kong? Do they face any cost for that kind of strategy?
Other than reputational cost, other than the great discontent that we will have in Hong Kong, in fact, we're starting to see that right now on the streets, and we'll be seeing it for the next few weeks. Not much more than that. I mean, they still exercise their powers over Hong Kong in accordance with the law, and they'll continue to essentially choose their chief executive. But in terms of progressing in Hong Kong, in terms of getting things passed, in terms of public policy in Hong Kong, things will still pretty much stand still.
What do you make of the warnings that Li Fei, who is the senior Chinese official who was in Hong Kong on Monday, his warnings that if these reform guidelines are rejected for 2017, they will probably remain the same for future chief executive elections, and that the first opportunity for Hong Kong to have all of the lawmakers directly elected in 2020, that opportunity would be put off. What do you make of those warnings?
Well, we certainly knew that one had to precede the other. So the election of the chief executive by universal suffrage had to precede the LegCo. And we've known that since 2007 when the Standing Committee decided then. So that's not surprising. But the question is, do these restraints that they've imposed on the weekend, do they continue even for 2022? And it sounds like the message is yes. And I guess it's based on the fact that what they've done is given us an interpretation of what Article 45 of the Basic Law means. So once you've interpreted it once, it stays the same. They're not going to change that. Otherwise, in fact, it could raise issues about, you know, the stability of the law. But, you know, it may be that if you can accept those restrictions, that they may allow more flexibility on other issues.
And just very quickly, what kind of flexibility do you think they could offer?
Well, there's still the issue about how you compose the nominating committee. They say that we have to stay with the same size. We have to stay with the same four broad sectors. But within those four sectors, there's still interesting issues of design and issues about corporate voting, whether that stays or goes. They may even consider changing the size of the committee in the future. I don't see why that should be an obstacle. But the other restrictions about the nominating threshold, I think they're going to be less willing to change.
That was Simon Young, a law professor at Hong Kong University, speaking with Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippitt.